Amen. God is good. All the time? Some of the time? Most of the time? All the time. Amen. Well, we're excited to be here again this weekend and to visit Tracy's dad and visit all y'all here because we're down south, southern Ontario, but we're here and we're excited to be here. I better lose the accent. But, we just come to visit, mom and dad, and just to be able to be here and, you know, just to be able to be an encouragement. And you know, I was thinking today, as you're sitting there, I said, doesn't he look good? Doesn't he look good? Amen? Amen. Now, you're probably thinking this, the physical eye. But I've seen somebody who's been working out in God's gym, going beyond the physical eye, and to see his spirit, his faith, growing stronger and stronger. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many know that the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith? That's the fight we win. But a lot of times, people don't like the word fight. Amen? Amen. But we persevere. We overcome. Amen? Those words are not sit back, relax, don't worry about it. No, those are words of I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out and I'm going to achieve. Amen? Amen. 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 So, you know, depends on where you're at, what you want to believe. You know, I believe that everything's going to be all right. And last night, I didn't share with him, but as we took communion together as a family, we had a time and I just felt my spirit fully at peace. Everything's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. Well, that doesn't change our thinking from before we arrived. No, it just gives us confirmation that Jesus is still in control. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So is there any believers in the house this morning? Amen? Who believe in a God that has created the heavens and the earth, and a God that can, who has created the body, can fix the body, one who can bless you. Amen? Is there any believers that still believe in a God that can create, that can produce signs, wonders, and miracles? Amen? Amen. Amen. As we're getting closer and closer to what we understand is the end time, and we're fully in it. There's no not knowing it. But as we come to the place, if you don't mind, I don't have a stage at my church, so I just feel like comfortable here. But as we start to understand this, we have to start to really get a miracle mentality. Amen? Believing in a God of miracles once again, not going to that the religious gospel casino of maybe God will, maybe He won't. Amen? How many of us are there when we pray? We're praying, but sometimes your thinking is, I don't know if it's going to work. Right? Right? This is, you know, we find ourselves in places like this from time to time, but we have to come to the place. See, I'm not even taking time to do an introduction. I'm just jumping in. Because time is of the essence anymore. And we have to just get ready and just jump into where Jesus is going. What the Holy Spirit is flowing in. And we just have to jump in and go with the flow. Amen? With His flow. I'm not going the worldly flow. Any dead fish can go downstream. But how many know those salmon that know for some reason that they're supposed to get to the spawning ground, that they fight against the current, they fight against waterfalls. Isn't that awesome that fish can jump? Right? And then all of a sudden they go from one plateau to another plateau, and then another plateau, and they're dodging bears, and they're dodging everything that will come against them. But hey, like I said, any dead fish can just go down the worldly flow. But it takes an alive person of faith to go against all that the world says is coming against you, and to say, hey, everything's going to be all right because God is still on the throne. Amen? Amen. So today, as we begin, I just want to talk about a God of miracles, because like I said, we have to start to understand, because I see in a lot of churches we have left that, and we have come to the place of just hope, and that's it. I hope it works. That's a worldly hope. I hope we get through. I hope. But when Christ is your hope, you got a smile on your face, a skip in your step, and a glide in your stride. Amen? Because he is our hope, not I hope it'll work. No, I know it will work. Faith has no other option. Amen? Faith has no other option. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings. As you turn there, I'm going to open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, that you watch over your word to perform it. You hasten over your word to perform it. That, Father God, you sent your word that did not return unto you void, but it will accomplish whereto you sent it, and it will be prosperous. So, Father God, the sower soweth the word, and Father, I thank you that as we sow the word this morning, Father, this is fertile ground, this is fertile ground, that, Father, there will become a tremendous harvest like never before. So, Father, we thank you for souls. We thank you, Father God, for deliverance. We thank you, Father God, for all that you are doing in this day, for healing, for blessing, prosperous, and provision. We thank you, Father God, for healing families. We thank you for healing marriages. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord God, you're doing all things that, Father God, we have forgot about, but, Lord, we are taking back, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. So, Father, we just thank you once again for your Holy Spirit that is here today to do what no man can do. But, Father, as we receive from your word, the Holy Spirit goes and abides by that word. And we see the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. So, recently we just acquired a new unit that we were in. It's about a 40 by 40 unit we were having church in, and we just moved into there at the beginning of the year. We had our opening service, and in May we're outgrowing it, so we had to move two doors down to another unit, which is twice as big and a lot more space, and we're going to be moving into there very soon, and that's a blessing of the Lord. And, you know, we're just so blessed at what's happening. And when God told me to take my focus off the material building, he says, focus on the church. And I says, that was. I'm trying to get everything together. I'm trying to find the funds to get the building, the foundation, and everything. He says, focus on the church. And I did not understand what he's talking about. He says, focus on the church. And when I started to take my eyes off of the building, the material itself, and start to put my eyes on the people, the church started to grow. How many know God knows what he's doing? Amen. Amen. I can come with you with enticing words, and I want to get into that scripture a little bit later, but how many know it is by the Spirit of God that he talks to you and he directs you? The Bible says he goes before you and make the crooked places straight. Amen. Amen. So in that, let's look at Elijah for just a moment. And I'm going to read this story, and we're just going to get into this for just a moment. I love this story. My brother was preaching it at our camp meeting, and he shared this once again. And I always love this, hearing about this story in Elijah. And it really shares forth kind of where we're at today. So let's start in verse 17. And it came to pass when, this 1 Kings chapter 18, when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou that troublest Israel? And he answered, and he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye may have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, that thou had followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather unto me Israel unto the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent and all the children of Israel and gathered in the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah said unto them, he said, how long have ye been between two options? I got that underlined. That's the question. How long have you been between two options? If the Lord be thy God, follow him. If Baal be, then follow him. And the people answered him not, and not a word. They're at least a little bit smart. And Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose the bullock for themselves. They get first choice, and cut into the pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you the one bullock of yourselves, and dress it first, that ye are many, and call upon the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock, and they had given to them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal in the morning until noon, and saying, O Baal, hear us. And there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon their altar, which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. I love this part. There's some boldness in Elijah. Amen? Today in the church, we're not, don't you be touching. Don't you be talking about Muslims. Don't you be touching Don't you be touching the homosexualities. Don't you be talking about them. But here's Elijah with a whole lot of boldness saying, he starts mocking them. And he says, Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking or he is pursuing. Maybe he's on a journey or a pre-adventure or sleeping and must be wakened. And they cried even louder, cutting themselves and their manner of knives and lassets, till the blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past, and they all prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that was neither voice or any answer or any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was broken down. And Elijah took the 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar, and in the name of the Lord, he built the altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, and a great as great as woods. Contained 2 meters of seed, 2 measures of seed, sorry. And about the wood and the altar in order, and cut the bullock into pieces and laid them upon the wood. And he said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And he said, do it and they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of offering the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all thy things at thy word. I have that underlined also. I have done all thy things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art Lord God, and that thou mayest turn their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. He is the Lord. He is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kedron and slew them there. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 17, and Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in the wisdom of the words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's jump down. I like verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but if him that are in Christ Jesus, who God is made unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, which I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. One more scripture. Turn with me to Revelations, chapter 3, verse 15. I'll read it. Everybody should know this one. And I know thy works, neither thou art cold nor hot, that it would work that you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. So as we look at these scriptures and as I was studying these scriptures and I start to get excited about these scriptures, I believe that we ought to get a miracle mentality once again. Because I believe Canada shall be saved. Amen? I believe your family members shall be saved. I believe that all the things that are happening, all the attacks of the enemy, all the things that we may have made bad choices and found ourselves in, I believe those things can turn around in Jesus' name. Amen? I believe that God is preparing, setting us up for such a time of his return. Amen? He's coming back for a glorious church, right? As we understand, he's coming back for a people of holiness. The Bible says that there are only those who are of holiness that will see him. There is something of, as we just read, that Jesus came to sanctify. I like that word. He separated you. Although we're in this world, we're not of it. But he has come to pull you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? Very simple word. I'm not getting deep today. I hardly ever get deep anyway, but I just like to say that. It makes me feel better. But as we start to understand everything and what this world is going through, this is a time, this is a day and age, we need to start to believe in miracles once again. Amen? I almost come to the place where I believe that in every church service, there ought to be at least one miracle. In every church service, there ought to be at least some type of salvation or returning unto God again. I believe that in every church service, there ought to be prophecy. In every church service, because there's the fivefold ministry, there ought to be teaching, preaching. I believe in every church service, God ought to be allowed to move as he will and not limited. We've started a study on revival. And I'm not looking for revival on some horizon. I need to let you know you are the revival. But the Bible says, stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. You are the revival. We just got to understand it. The Bible says that creation, all the creature, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's you. You are, through Jesus Christ, adopted into the family. You know, people say, you know, I don't like that word adoption. Other people may say, I don't like that word adoption because you weren't really, you know, adopted kids are treated a little bit different than in the real, because people will love their real kids and then they'll kind of love their adopted kids. But here's what I like about Jesus adopting us, God adopting us. What does that mean? It means Jesus was born, but he made a way that we could be adopted into the family. What does that mean? Adopted kids are chosen. You were chosen to be in the family. Amen? Hallelujah. That gives me great excitement that Jesus came and he chose me. That he chose you. You, I don't know, but we'll let you in. But you're chosen. You're chosen. You just didn't someday say, maybe I'll try this religious stuff out. We'll see if it fits. And I'll come in, I'll fill a seat on Sunday morning, I'll see what'll happen. Maybe I'll get a goosebump or so. Amen? Or you come to the place where I believe, because I like that scripture, he says, because it impacted me just this little while. He says, in Revelation, he talks about the first church. He says, you have left your first love. And I said, you know what? I got to get back to see what Jesus said. And we're talking about healing last night. And I started to think, as I'm taking the shower, God starts to speak. He goes, I don't know why I get these thoughts, but I started to think, of all the miracles and all the healings within Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, within Jesus' ministry on this earth, that then after that, we start to hear about how you are in Jesus, what he has done. But then I start to think, where are all the miracles that were happening so much? Maybe we don't get to see the fullness, the life of Paul, the fullness life of Peter. We understand after the book of, I could start to look at, because I got all the healing scriptures in pink. That's just my highlighting. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are so full, but then it starts to, you know, get dwindle out in Acts. And then after that, we just start to hear about who Jesus is in us. Do you think the Bible's trying to teach us something? That you have to know who you are in Christ and who he is in you. But then again, you have to go back and find out. And what I started to do is I started to go back to Matthew and start to read the words in red and just picture myself sitting at the feet of the master and taking every word in as if he was right there. As if I was right there when he was teaching the word, when he was sharing the word. And sometimes I don't get it, so I gotta go and I gotta break it down, get some dictionaries and things of that sort. But then I start to just say, you know what? I want those words right from the mouth of Christ to impact me. I don't forsake what Paul did. I don't forsake what John did, James, and so on. They were getting us to the place of understanding. But now we come to the place of going back and seeing what the master did. These things I've done, you shall do also. Right? And even greater. People get excited about that greater. Ooh. Right? We're already doing the greater. Jesus, in most aspects, could not save anyone until he went to the cross. The greatest miracle we can see is salvation. That's the greater. But people are expecting, man, I'm not just going to walk on water. I'm going to hover above the water. Right? They want to try to up one on Jesus. I believe Jesus did the miracle so he would teach us on how to do it. Then he taught his disciples faith, have faith in God. Whatever you say to this mountain, right? You understand Mark chapter 11? And he taught them how he did it. Remember last time I was here or two times ago, I remember last time we talked about big butts. How many remember that? Yeah, you think, I won't forget it, Pastor. I won't forget it. But time before that, I talked about Jesus did not curse the fig tree. He answered the fig tree. He bound the purpose of that tree for an illustration to teach his disciples on how faith worked. But then all of a sudden, in the great human mentality, Peter said, 1 + 1 = 2. You spoke, the tree died. It's a curse. But I could not find one good word, one good definition of curse. Why would Jesus have to step into the devil's realm to ask him for help? It's not so. Amen? Amen. But let's get back to the story because I'm going all over. Here's Elijah. And where we're at today. When have you come to two options? Well, Jesus is just one of the many that we can get to heaven. We can go to Buddha. We can go to Allah. We can go to through Muhammad. We can go through all these different things for me and where I am. We can go through the native traditional ways and we'll all get to heaven. My Bible says, the very Bible that man tried to destroy and rid off the face of the earth but still is here today, says that there is only but one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus. And that's why we have to get so emphatic. We have to start to really get something of more of a, and there's the P word, I keep on forgetting every time. But just coming to the place where we're excited and we start to show people that our God is real. And I believe more and more as we start to dig in, as we start to jump in, we start to do something, God starts us to do something awesome. Back to my original thought. We're talking about, I told you I'm going all over the place today. I know where I'm going, so just hold on. We started a teaching on revival. But you can't even get into the revival until you understand the foundation. Foundation number one is love. Foundation number two is faith. Foundation number three is having an eagerness, a hunger. Number four, you have to understand that you are the king of your domain. Talking about high places. We wrestle not against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places. In other words, kings in the book of Kings, they were a king of their kingdom, but they allowed certain worship to be done in their... The Bible says that God... They love God, but they allowed these high places into their kingdom. What are you allowing into your life? That was that. And then we talked about the Holy Spirit, because we have to have that unction. We have to have that move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Next Sunday, we're going to talk about two fires. Hellfire, because we church don't talk about that no more. It's too controversial. Nobody wants to talk about that. But the Bible says, how will they know if a preacher isn't sent? Well, how will you know that what's wrong is wrong and what's right is right? Sinners are sinners. They're the best they can be at sinning. They don't know sinning is bad. Did you know that? But when Jesus reveals himself, they start to line themselves up with the Word of God. And we share. We don't beat them over the head with it, but we share the goodness to prolong their life. Amen? You say, Pastor Murray, you're not exciting this week. Just hold on. So as we continue that, we understand that we are revival. Amen? And I believe what is happening as we start to continue forth, just like Elijah. Why have you become to the place of two options? If God be God, if God be your God, let him be your God. But if Baal be your God, let Baal be your God. A way of the worldliness. But I like what Elijah did. It just is so much boldness, and I believe that we need to come to the place of boldness once again. That he says, okay, you do what you need to do. You do a sacrifice. You call upon your gods. And all the 450 prophets of Baal, they came and they were sacrificing. They're calling out, oh, Baal, and stuff like that. And they're cutting themselves. They're trying to get their God to move. And all Elijah did was just mock them. Yell a little louder. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you got to wake him up. Where's the boldness in the church again? Amen? Remember when Acts chapter 9, I believe, or Acts chapter 4, when they were praying and they said, Lord God, behold thy threatenings. Look at what they're doing against us. He says, please just give us boldness that we may speak your word and by the hand, lay our hand, by the name of the Holy Child Jesus, miracles will be done. Right? In the midst of all turmoil, they said, give us boldness. Their prayer was not, Lord God, destroy them now. Because we're Christians, we're not supposed to pray that way. Right? You're supposed to love people. Oh, Lord God, just give them a sickness. Oh, Lord God, just kill them in a car wreck. How many religious people are praying that today? Because of a hate, seed of hate that was planted in their heart. Well, that's not us. We're the God, Lord, give me boldness that I can reach them. Give me a bolt. Give me a plan. Give me some type of way I can reach them and pull them in. At the same time, I like the second words we shared in 1 Corinthians, that my words do not come with you in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Amen? I believe I'm coming to that because we've been sitting back, we've been just on cruise control for so long, and God's saying, wake up! Amen? How many of you, because I've seen this happen already, as we've been teaching this, as we've been getting into this, I said, I want people to be to the place of boldness. And this one girl that has just, she started to come last year, but man, she's on fire. And one day she cleans up the where our church is, the plaza, you know, she does things outside. And this man from a company, from a garbage truck company, he come walking out of a store. And he's on the cell phone. He goes, baby, I can't see. And he has his eyes open. He goes, baby, I can't see. And he's crying. He goes, I don't know what to do. And he's on his, he goes, I just got married. And he's just freaking out. He's just, you don't know what's happening. And he's like, go, oh, babe. And then this girl that her name's Ange, she comes up to him and they kind of sit him down, kind of calm him down. And another woman comes out, which is a nurse. And she's going, like, step back, we're going to call the ambulance, you know, holding people. And all she did was just walk around her. And the guy's like, I just got married, I don't want to die. What was the first thing that came to his head? What was the first thought that came to his head? Death. I don't want to die, that's the world. I don't want to die. How, what? And she says, she grabs a hold of him, and he's grabbing her. He says, he goes, I can't see. I can't see. I don't know what's happening. I don't want to die. And she says, you want me to pray for you? He goes, yes, yes. And right there, right on the pavement, he's sitting there a moment ago, just totally messed up. And then she starts to pray for him. With the boldness where this nurse is on the phone saying, we're calling the ambulance. Don't touch him. Get away from him. She just walks around him, grabs a hold of him. Can I pray for you? And she starts to pray with him. And just like that, she says, hey, I can see. My sight's coming back. He goes, thank you. Thank you. And he's grabbing her saying, thank you. There's a boldness not to be like, you know, not to walk the long way around the Samaritan, but to jump in and say, what can I do for you? Because it's nothing I can do, but I know a God who can turn it around. And that's what I get excited about. Because I know a whole lot of hurting people, but I also know a God who can turn it around. Amen. Who do you know? Amen. Or are you at the place of two options? Well, maybe he can, maybe he won't. Maybe, you know, once again, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against loans and stuff, because we go to doctors, we have a loan and things like that, but we go to God first. Amen. If it's to a place that we need help and the ambulance is coming, we're saying, oh God, I thank you, Father God, that your power is greater than this situation. I thank you that the healing power by his stripes is greater than the situation I'm going through. That maybe I can't breathe, but in my breaths, I can say, Jesus. So when we come to that place, we got to start to get a miracle mentality once again. And people say, well, what if it doesn't work? I want to tell you, what if it does? See, what's keeping you away is fear of what if God, not even God, what if you look stupid? What if you look stupid going and praying, laying hands on somebody, and it doesn't work? Well, number one, healing is progressive. It starts and it continues until there is the fullness of what Jesus paid for. Miracles are another thing that are instantaneous. That's why I said we got to have a miracle mentality. I want these things suddenly. I want these things instantaneously, immediately. Amen? Who can believe in a God like that again? Amen? I'm telling you, we do not have time to wait. I believe in faith and patience. Don't get me wrong. But that faith and patience manifests. Because, hey, I have took time. I've spent time with the Master. I got to the place where I was so hungry for his presence. And that's all it's about in our church now, is his presence. Doesn't mean we forsake the word. No, we get the word. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved of God. We get the word. We need the word. The word is our foundation. The word is our life. But we come to the place that, hey, I want his presence beyond everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. In other words, we're finding out who he is. And when he is on the inside of us, that we can get to the place of his presence, and everything else will just happen. I like that song. And I say it all the time. In his presence is healing divine. How many know that song? Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. Right? I'm not a singer, but you know what I mean. I'm struggling with this, okay? But in his presence, we've come to the place of we come through a form of church anymore, a form of godliness, where we go, we listen, and we go, amen. That will give me something for an hour, right? But I'm coming, I'm saying, and it's not a place of just pastor alone. It has to be the entire body. I'm hungry. I know I got the fullness of Christ. So I'm hungry for his presence even more. I'm hungry for something more. You say, oh, you got the fullness. God always... With God, there's always more. Don't get satisfied. Get hungry. Don't come to the place where we got it all. I guess this is it. So you might as well just stay home. Why pray? You got it already. Why get into your word? You got it all already. No, I get into that word because I'm hungry. I want more of him. And here's the awesome thing. He'll always give you more. He will always pour out even more. Because we go unto faith and to faith, right? Glory unto glory. He says, he didn't say just one faith. He goes, no, you grow bigger and stronger. Amen? How long do I have? 2 hours. Somebody's roast is going to burn. Here we go. Here comes the church split now. I thought you should have been done 10 minutes ago. I'm just sharing you my heart and where we're at our church, because you know what I said? You know what? We have it. We're still digging into his word. We're still getting the word. We're still understanding certain things. But at the same time, we cannot become a cold, a religious church, just word only. But we got to get into the place of his presence. Of his presence. I'm hungry. It's not persevere. It's just something where I just want more of him in my life. So that when I go, when I'm out and about, maybe I'm in Walmart because it works in Walmart. We were in Walmart. We walked in one night, and this woman that we knew from Kettle Point, she come running up, and she goes, can you go pray for my husband? He's by, you know, that place where you check your blood pressure. She goes, he's checking his blood pressure. He's having a stroke. And we went back there. We started to pray with him. And then by time, because he started to shake, I believe the foam was coming out of his mouth, if I can believe Craig, just a little bit. And they said, and all of a sudden, I believe nurses are angels, because a nurse showed up. Every time we ever got in a car accident, there was a nurse there. But they didn't stick around. They must have had to go to work or something. They just checked out, made everything sure everybody was all right, and they left. Anyway, that's just a side trail. There was a nurse there again, and we started to pray for him in Walmart. Laid him out. I believe we sat him down on the ground or something. I forget how it goes. But we prayed for him. But by time he was leaving, he was back into the place of being all right. They're going to check him out. Because this works in Walmart. This will work in the mall. This will work in the grocery store. Amen? But we come to the place where we think it only can work in the four walls and the ceiling. We can't go outside with this. People will think we're crazy. Who cares? Why have you come to two options? Amen? Why do you care more about what they think about than what God thinks about? There are people who need you to introduce them to Jesus. There are people who need you to lay hands on them and believe and see the miracle happen. Amen? Our word should not just be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we have to have some type of words of faith, some type of knowledge come forth that is strong, that is understanding that you know what you're talking about, but at the same time, we have to have faith behind those words, and we have to have a manifestation. We've come to a place of no manifestation, and we think that's okay. But God is going to do something greater on this earth in these times. And it is time now to prepare to start to get to the place of prayer and start to get hungry once again for revival. Because God will move in his church first before he moves on the outside. He needs you built up before you can help somebody else. So, we are coming to the place of not being a cold church. And I'm going to end with this. I know what time you go. How do you cook a frog? How do you boil a frog? How many have ever heard this illustration? I have read the illustration. I have not done the illustration. Please do not call PETA on me. But they will say... Because I told my church, don't try this because I know somebody would. You cannot have a boiling pot of water and throw a frog in and try to cook it, he'll jump out. I never tried it. They say you have to put him in lukewarm water and slowly turn up the temperature until he doesn't even know he's being cooked. Do not try this at home. I have heard about this. Okay? Where was I going with this? I just thought it was a good illustration. We've come to the place of lukewarmness. Amen? But we have to come to the place where we are hungry once again for Him. We are hungry once again for Him. Beyond everything else, I want to put my priority and my focus back on Him. When I'm being driven five different ways, I want to put my focus on Him. Today, as much as there are so much things happening, we have to get a miracle mentality. A friend of mine asked when he was in Bible school some years ago, he would go and ask all his teachers, where are the miracles? They pretty much suppressed him until they sent him to the dean. And he says, where are the miracles of the Bible? Why don't we hear about these miracles no longer? Where are the Oral Roberts? Where are the influx of Benny Hinn's? Because this should not be given to one person, but the entire body. The entire body needs to function in the anointing.